O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, it certainly looked triumphant with the crowd cheering and waving palms. Everyone expected that he was going to claim the throne of his ancestor King David and return Israel to national glory. However, things are not always what they appear. Jesus went there to die. In the mysterious paradox of God's plan for our salvation, Jesus' death was a victory, the cross was his throne, and Jesus succeeded in becoming a king with a different type of glory. But that was not apparent on that first Palm Sunday. Jesus' death was imminent. My observation from being with many dying people is that people die as they live. I've been sharing a lot of personal stories lately, I know, about pastoral ministry. As you will soon be calling a new pastor, I want you to see a glimpse of what pastors do. I once had a parishioner, a widower with no children. He lived in a nursing home. He was a very quiet, private, solitary kind of man. The nursing home called me one morning and said that they were expecting him to pass within the hour. I went there to pray with him and to sit with him until he did pass. I sat there all through the morning and well into the afternoon. The nurse said to me, "Pastor, please go get some lunch. You've been here a long time." And I did. When I returned, she said, "He passed right after you left." I was upset with myself for having let him die alone. And the nurse said to me, "He waited for you to leave. He wanted to die alone. He didn't want to burden you with that." And I believe she was right. Another parishioner was a big, friendly, gregarious, retired policeman who loved his family. I was called to the ICU to see him when he had suddenly taken ill. The nurse told me that he didn't have long to live, and I asked how I would know when his time was coming. She told me to watch the monitor, and when his heart rate started dropping, then I would know that the end was near. Shortly thereafter, his heart rate dropped. I gathered his wife, his three children, and several grandchildren into that tiny ICU cubicle. As we were praying the Lord's Prayer, I heard the nurse behind me doing something with the monitor. I turned as we finished and saw that he had flatlined while we were praying, and she had turned off the alarm. What a beautiful way for a Christian family man to pass, surrounded by the prayers of the church and by his loved ones. Would that we could all go that way. In the Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, chapter 23, verse 46, we have Jesus' seventh and final word from the cross, the last utterance before he died, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In that last dying statement, we see once again that Jesus was a man of scripture, a man of prayer, a man with a humble trust in God, his Father. Jesus truly died the same way that he lived. We noted previously that some of Jesus' words from the cross came directly from scripture and others alluded to scripture. Similarly, Psalm 31, verse 5 reads, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Now, in the Old Testament, the Jews would not call God Father. They thought it was too familiar. Jesus, of course, did refer to God as his Father. He is his Son, after all. And he says that we, too, are also God's children. We can call God Father. Now, some of you may know that in some translations it reads, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." In others it says, "I commend my spirit." It's just two different English translations of the same word. The difference is negligible. They mean the same thing. Psalm 31 appears to have been used regularly in the worship of the Jews. Jesus would have heard it often, and he may have prayed those very words at bedtime each night. The Christian church traditionally, in the prayer service called Compline, prayed before retiring at night, includes, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Imagine, even in his dying woes, Jesus is expressing the same confidence in his Father's providential care as he did before going to sleep at night. That same faithful intention is captured in the popular hymn, "All Praise to Me, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night," in which we sing, "Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed." It's also found in the traditional children's bedtime prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep," which says, "If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." What's really striking about Jesus saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," is Jesus' focus. Even as he dies, Jesus is more focused on God his Father than he is in his own physical pain. In the end, Jesus does not assert his divine identity and come down from the cross. He does not claim his rights as the Son of God. He doesn't even proclaim his innocence, and he was innocent. Instead, he submits himself to the will of the Father. He throws himself on God's mercy. He turns his life over to God's keeping. Even in the agony of death, Jesus did not sin. Adam and Eve sinned by trying to take the power, the knowledge that was God alone. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be big deals. And their sin has infected humanity down to this very day. We lust for fame and fortune. We try to build kingdoms for ourselves in our workplaces and our homes and even in our churches. We want honor and praise and glory. But people come and go all the time. No one is ever a big deal for very long. Our little kingdoms don't last. It is said, man proposes, but God disposes. Similarly, it is said, when we make plans, God laughs. We find those kinds of express both in Psalm 31 and in Proverbs 19. Ultimately, we have no lasting control over anything. It is all up to God. It all comes down eventually to what he wants and what he will allow. Earth is a little planet tucked away in the corner of the universe where puny two-legged creatures have the audacity to say to their creator, "I'm in charge here and I'll do whatever I want." In fact, we are not even our own. We belong to God and he can do with us whatever he wants. Fortunately for us, his intentions for us are good. Jesus knew that. Not everyone does. Little more than a couple decades ago, a convicted murderer about to receive capital punishment, instead of speaking his last words, gave his executioners a copy of William Ernest Henley's poem Invictus, which in Latin means invincible. This is the text of the poem. "Out of the night that covers me, black as pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." The words and the meter and rhyming may be beautiful and moving, but its message is trash. Its meaning is pure rubbish. Theologically, it's self-centered, narcissistic, and humanistic. There is nothing Christian about it. We Christians do not need to thank whatever gods might be. Jesus revealed to us the true nature of the one and only God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The poet attributed his tortured state to circumstance and chance. We know that all things are under God's command and that even Jesus' suffering served a divine purpose. This executed criminal claimed to be the master of his fate and the captain of his soul. He was not. This executed criminal had his life taken from him. Jesus, on the other hand, did not have his life taken from him. Jesus gave up his spirit. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for us, trusting in God his Father. Unlike Invictus, Jesus knew that beyond this life was not the horror of the shade. He knew that beyond this life was peace with God. Such was the faith Jesus lived and died with. If there is anything in that poem that it might at all apply to Jesus, it is that his head was bloodied but unbowed. Jesus withstood the pain. He took the hit for us. He did not surrender. He did not give in. He fought the devil on the cross, and he won. Jesus committed his spirit into the Father's hands, and God raised him from the dead. Someday, our body and spirit will be likewise separated in death, and like Jesus, God will raise us up too. We'll hear more about that next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Until we are called to Christ near his presence, then, we can live and die in faith as Jesus did, knowing that we are in God's hands. I'd like to close with a prayer. It's kind of the opposite of Invictus. It was written by John Henry Newman. May the Lord support us all the day long of this troubled life, till the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed. The fever of life is over and our work is done. Then, Lord, in your mercy, give us a safe lodging and holy rest and peace at the last. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.